Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter, here with Greg Romero Wilson, waiting for McCorkle. I have not heard, Don Fry changed his phone number, and I've reached out to him like six times on Instagram, like in DM, saying, are you okay? Want to come back on the show? And maybe it's not him, but somebody sees it. It's a scene, and then that's it. He hasn't got back to me. So if anyone has heard from Don Fry.
So either he's a prisoner in Colombia, or he's learned to walk again and walked right out of our ship.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hopefully Don Fry. Anyway, we are here on the podcast. I had a crazy week, man. Fucking, you want to hear about the week?
Yes.
All right. So I'm in Michigan doing a show from my buddy Amaru, who opened up a movie theater. He bought a movie theater and turned it into a comedy club. So he owns seven theaters, it has potential to be amazing. It has been amazing. It needs a lot of work, but he has a fucking, most people own a, he's like, I opened up a comedy club. He owns a movie, an AMC. I guess they were giving it away and he has it now.
Well, they were in bankruptcy. I guess they were trying to unload some properties and he picked one up, huh?
Crazy, right? So I'm there, I'm in Michigan, and like my buddy calls me up. My friend Jay, he says, hey, man, you want to do a show tomorrow? Matt Damon's producing a movie in Chicago, and they want to do a thing where you go out there, and they're having a cast party right before the party. A bunch of stars are going to be there. You pretend you're a waiter, and then, like, trip or something, and then the guy makes fun of you, and you grab the mic and start roasting everybody and doing your act. So I'm like, sure. Like, what can go wrong here?
I just don't understand why they can't just hire you to roast them. Why they always have to create, you got to be officiating the wedding, you got to be pretending to be a wedding, you got to do something to where the audience isn't in on it, and the only person it hurts is you.
Yeah, right, because that's what everybody wants, an impromptu roast from a stranger. That's what you want. So I fly to Chicago, it's in the Soho House, right? I'm in a private room watching the new James Bond movie, I guess, with the other people. And they think that's like the waiter quit. He's watching the movie. I walk in and the guy goes, you know, and it's just a little room with a cast of like 13 people sitting around a table. It's not like a big party. They're just having a dinner. Like, and I guess the spirits were low, which is why they hired me, right? Now, when things people are in a bad mood, maybe having an impromptu comic to roast them isn't the best thing to do, right? So I get there, and I like trip, and then the guy goes, oh, he makes a speech like, look, if you fall down, you want to build yourself back up. And I fell down right on cue. And he goes, see it like that? Yeah. So I'm like, oh, real fucking funny, asshole. He goes, what?
Oh, no. Why would you do?
I go, yeah, this is funny. Making fun of a guy who's just trying. You guys are all big actors. I know, Hollywood. Ha, ha, ha. Bunch of liberal, you know, assholes, you know, making fun of a guy trying to make. And now it's like so awkward. It's like, everyone's like.
Yeah.
So then I go, I'm funnier than you. He goes, really? Yeah. I go, yeah, I am. I go, watch. He goes, all right. So I get the mic. Now people are sort of like still confused. I go, hey, just so you know, I'm the comic. They got people were like, huh. They're like, you're really good at that. I'm like, I know, put me in the movie, right? So,
oh my God, I'm so glad you let them in on the gag before you continued further, because it was just, I mean, I was like, this is only gonna go downhill.
Well, it gets worse, right? So I do a couple
with the minister one, you never let him in on the gag, and the guy ends up trying to fight you.
Yeah, I know. So this one, so I do a couple jokes, right? I'm doing well, and I should have just stuck to my act, right? Because Matt Damon wasn't there, right? So I had a bunch of Matt Damon jokes because he told me Matt Damon was going to be there. But this guy named Finn, the guy who's going to be like the next Green Lantern, he's been in like 100 movies. This guy, I mean, you would know if you saw him. He's a really big actor. He's like a really big actor that I can't remember his name. His name is Finn Whitlock. Right, he's a big American horror story. I don't watch that, but he's like the main guy in American Horror Story. So, So I start doing jokes about Matt Damon, right? And because I'm like, well, fucking Matt's here anyway. And you're like, just do the jokes about Matt Damon anyway. That's what I met with the guys. So I'm like, Matt Damon, you know, listen, Matt Damon's what happens when you order Tom Brady off Wish. You know, I said, you know, Matt Damon, you know, you're a very charitable guy. You donated a lot of money to Ben Affleck's rehab, right? And then like. People, then it, like Finn's like, oh, but then people got mad at me for that, right? They're like, oh. I'm like, come on. I go, Matt and Ben Affleck were in a lot of plays together as a kid. Although Matt took, although Ben took all, most of the lines because he's had a problem with taking too many lines. Like, I just start roasting. Oh. Like, great jokes. But here's what they got mad. They got mad a little bit. I go, Matt left Harvard to appear in the movie Geronimo, which is a huge flop. And he, you know, once again, we fucked over the Indians. But he felt so bad about it, he later campaigned for Elizabeth Warren. So like, maybe this was not the crowd, right? So then I'm like, I'm doing well, right? So then I start getting into Finn. I go, Finn Whitlock, you know, you're an amazing actor. You went to, you know, Juilliard. You were in this movie and that. And I named like six of his movies. Like, you're such a great actor. I have no idea who the fuck you are, right? I think he got like annoyed at that. And then this girl Valerie Curry, who was in, she was in like Twilight, and then she was also in Anne Frank. I'm like, so you're in the most depressing movie of all time, as well as Anne Frank, right? So I went back into my act, right? The crew and the directors and they were all dying, right? This girl did not like. This girl was not.
Shocker.
She was not a fan. Like, but here was, I didn't realize that. What I didn't know was that the crew was so exhausted that the actors were like. They were like filming in 9 hours. They didn't really, they wanted to be here, but they wanted to go home and rest and sleep. And now they're at a party for the cast. And then this fucking comedian shows up and starts telling everyone that people are pansexual. So that was, the director, this guy, Joel Gresh, you ever hear him?
I don't think so.
He's done a lot of shit. He's a lot. I go, but like, you're in great hands. This director, he was in such amazing, incredible, you know, shows like Silk Stockings and Saved by the Bell, the New Class. I go, and he's married to William Shatner's daughter. I go, yeah. I go, your father-in-law loves you so much. He's went to the moon. You know, like I just. So it went really well. Like I did kill. I did kill for the most part. The girl didn't. The girl was not a fan, right? But I didn't really know what. Well, maybe the best way to cheer up a crew isn't to hire a comedian to roast them when they don't know they're being roasted at their party, you know. But it was so funny, Greg. You would have like been on the floor laughing. I mean, it was so funny, but it was ridiculous. I mean, so then I get into the elevator and I'm with that guy Finn. Like, I happen to leave. I had to wait to get paid afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Around. And then of course it's Finn with his wife who's pregnant. And I don't know what to say. And he was like, yo man, really good job. And I go, oh, well, congrats. I go, is that yours? He was like,
you're
yes,
such
that's
an idiot.
He was like, yes, that's mine. I was like, oh, okay, congrats, man. I'm like, I got one too. Want to see my kid?
Is that yours?
Was like, but I mean, it was hilarious. It was insane. And then I had to fly back to Milwaukee, back to Michigan, do a show yesterday, and then on Sunday, and then fly from Michigan back to LA, layover, take a fucking bus to the. You know, Van Nuys terminal, because it's like $200 for an Uber back from the airport, and you have to take a bus to the Uber station from LAX. So I'm like, I'll just take it all the way to the Van Nuys. But then it was like 12 people. Where the guy gets up, he's like, "We only have 12 spaces, and there's 20 people here, so I don't know who was here first." I was like, "Go," you know. Cause so then it was a fucking mess. Anyway, but
that fucking sucks.
Yeah. Did you watch the fights at all?
I did watch the fights, dude. This is what I was talking about. This actually, we managed to not jinx it. And that it turned out, I mean, it turned out to be an act. In fact, first of all, the fact that he actually lasted all five rounds, he seemed, Costa seemed so obviously, and 20 pounds overweight, like, is at what point does the gaming commission come in and be like, no, or the athletic commission is like, guys, this isn't even, you're not even close to being in the same weight division. I mean, it was so weird. But he lasted all five rounds, and it was the slugfest we wanted, baby. That was it was a great fight. I loved it. It was a good card, and it was a good fight night, but that fight was really – it was the five rounds I think UFC fans needed.
A couple things, though. First of all, Marvin Vettori has the hardest chin I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the guy – because Costa came in at 226 that night, and he was 206. So he was 40 pounds over what he should have been, Costa. Well, 85, 95, 105. Yeah, 225. He was 40 pounds over what he was actually supposed to weigh. And this dude just ate his shots. I mean, the crowd was like, and ate his kicks. Marvin Vettori
how those things didn't cripple his rib cage, his left side. I mean, he was getting slammed and just walked right through it. I mean, he earned that motherfucking victory. I'll tell you, and yesterday, what was his body like the next morning trying to just sit up? Like, those shots were, and it would slap so hard.
Yeah.
So loud.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. Hey, what's up? McCorkle, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Good to see you, man. Everything all
right? Oh, yeah, just hustling around, man. I had a guy show up to do some work at my house, and he's extremely late. So, like, it's all like always, man. So,
have you talked to Don Fry at all? No one knows where he is.
I tried texting his other number, but it didn't go through. So, I assume that's not his number anymore. But I don't know.
But no one knows what happened to Don Fry. Did you watch the fights over the weekend?
I did. Well, the ones that mattered. I watched Fedor's fight, and I watched the fight I lost a fortune on, the Paulo Costa fight. It was nice to see him not even try. That was nice for him to not even. I thought at those odds, man, at him but plus 150, I got to take that bet. Apparently, I don't have to take that bet. That was a bad idea.
No, but the guy missed his weight by 20 pounds, and you still bet on him?
Yeah, I thought that would be to his advantage. I thought, oh, he doesn't have to cut weight. And Vettori looked so terrible against Stylebender, like the worst fighter I've ever seen. I thought, man, if he fights like that, Costa will knock his head off. But apparently, he doesn't fight anymore. He gassed out in the first 45 seconds and didn't fight at all. Kind of reminded me of me in my late fighting days.
But he still took – I mean, he still took those shots, right? I mean, anybody else would have been knocked out by those shots.
I guess, man. Vettori doesn't exactly hit that hard, so I don't know. He looks so bad against Stylebender. I figured there was no way Costa would be.
No, I'm saying Vettori taking Costa shots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's a – still, though, man, I don't know what's happened to him, Costa, since he lost to Stylebender. Like, he looked terrible in that fight, and then he looked tired to me, man, early, really early he looked tired.
So, oh, yeah, I was amazed he survived five rounds. But then in the fifth round, I mean, they were swinging, man. He was still there, still swinging. I was surprised. I wasn't impressed, but I was surprised.
Now, a part of me feels like Costa likes being a celebrity, is really talented and really good at fighting, but doesn't necessarily like fighting, or doesn't like training, at least, the cardio. Maybe he likes actually getting in there and throwing punches, but it seems to be like a guy who's really good at fighting but doesn't want to actually put in the work.
Well, man, when he fought Yoel Romero, I think it was, he looked like Superman. Like, he was walking through everything he hit him with. Like, it wasn't – that's why I thought he was going to do Stylebender. I thought he was going to mix it up with him, and he looked like he'd never fought before against Stylebender, but – and then that was a joke the other night. That was terrible. Actually, mostly because I had money on it. That's why I was so mad. But
real quick, before we get back to the UFC, let's get to the Fedor fight. That was depressing. I was so looking forward to Tim Johnson going in there. When he walked in the "I am a real American" guy for Hulk Hogan, I was like, this is hilarious. And he just, as soon as like they were like, Tim Johnson's really working on his head movement and Extreme Couture has really improved his boxing, as soon as they said that, he gets cracked like right on cue and knocked out. Man, I mean, I guess, you know, they say power is the last thing to go, and Fedor has always had power.
Yeah. Well, the thing about him, man, Tim Johnson needs to work on his hair removal. Forget head movement, because that guy had patches of hair growing in the weirdest places I've ever seen. That was distracted.
Were you impressed by Fedor knocking him out, though?
Yeah, I mean, Fedor's always got that one punch power. I did see some people online say the fight was a setup. I was like, how do you fake or set up someone's head jerking that fast when they get hit? Like, if you watch it slow motion, I mean, he connects.
Yeah.
It's solid on both that left and that right. You know, like it, and everybody's like, oh, it was a setup. Like, yeah, I'm sure they're rigging fights. And
yeah, that's
ridiculous. But no, Fedor's, sure, he can still beat anybody on any given day, man.
I'm sure a guy who's in the Army and Tim Johnson, the guy that has hit kind of his kind of career, is going to all of a sudden, you know, throw a fight to Fedor.
Yeah.
The fact that if he wins, puts him back in the, you know, top three, top four. Now, Grant Dawson, Rick Glenn. I'm a huge Grant Dawson fan. I love Grant. And he's a friend. And yeah, it's funny too, because I was like, after the fight, I texted him. I'm like, bro, you know, great job, but stop scaring the shit out of me, right? And he goes, he writes back, sorry, man, I really tried. And I was like, dude, I don't ever apologize. First of all, you tried your hardest. I'm fucking with you. Like, you're obviously an amazing fighter. And when, you know, when you're the champ, don't forget me. He goes, okay, but please, but please still make fun of me. Like, just, he goes, please, still make fun of me, which I thought was pretty damn cool. But man, oh man, that third round was all Rick Glenn. Did you see that happening, Greg?
That was the only time I've ever been happy to see a draw.
Yeah.
This was the only draw that I'm like, yes, you're exactly right. This was a fucking draw.
Yeah.
For Rick Glenn to come back and fight like that and take that third round and have the it was a great fight. It was clearly a draw. I was like, yeah, this is a draw.
Sean?
I didn't see that one. No, it's I thought that fight was on Bellator, so I figured there's no way I'd be able to find it anyway, so I didn't even try. But no, I didn't get to see that one. I just watched the main event on both those.
And then Jesse Jess looked really good. She won a fight against a girl. Sometimes you just can't finish people. Sometimes people are just too tough to be finished. They're it's like those wrestlers that I used to wrestle. There were guys that just were like good enough to not get pinned and make you look bad. Because they would lose 6-3 or 5-4. Sometimes people are just good enough to stay in the game, and that kind of is what happened. Bruce Lee.
That Jocelyn girl, though, I mean, she has hands. She was throwing them hands, but she has no wrestling at all. And then they would separate them. She'd go, great, thanks. I just right back in and five more minutes. I mean, it was boring as fuck. Yeah. But, I mean, you had to respect. I mean, Jesse just could tell, hey, she can't stop me at any point, so she just did it the whole time. It's boring as fuck, but very dominating win for her.
Well, it's funny though, because people like that, like if you have a good personality outside of MMA, I feel like fans won't even, this they want to see you win. Like Chael Sonnen, Colby Covington, they don't have the most exciting fighting styles, but because people like them, like fuck it, just, you know, get the win. You know what I'm saying? So there, seriously, like guys like John Fitch, Jake Shields, although not Jake Shields now, they really weren't like characters outside of the octagon. So when they won like that, people were like, this is fucking boring, right? But people like that, like you get behind because you like them. And just sort of has that like fan base outside of MMA, outside of just, you know, what's going on.
So, well, and that's the thing is you see her, okay, and this is going to sound like such an old man thing to say, but you just see her and like, you know, she's this adorable blonde girl. And then she has all these crazy tattoos on her face and on her legs. And you just – and she's a fighter. And I'm sorry, but I can't help wondering what happened.
I'm guessing there was some heroin involved if she won. So, I don't know.
Something – there's some point where she was like something, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happened to something.
Australian girls, you know? Australian girls are a different kind of girl, dude. Australian girls are like –
Maybe that's all that happened. Maybe that's what it is. She's just Aussie, and they're just tough fucking fighter bit girls. I don't know. I don't know, man. But I just like, I'm like, geez, honey, gee, you went all the way with this, didn't you? Jeez.
I once had sex with an Australian girl, and afterwards, she's like, "That's all you got?" I was like, "Geez." I mean, yeah, that really was all I had. Number one, but I couldn't believe like, that's it. That's all you got. That's all we're gonna do.
Chino, that comedian Chino LaForge tells a story about hooking up with an Australian girl, and she was like, "I'm sorry, but I'm on my whatever on my period." He's like, "Oh," she goes, "but it's okay. You can throw it in the dumper."
Really? Oh. Wow. That's hilarious.
I'll never forget. I was in Australia.
Yeah.
I was in Australia one time, and a guy said, he was saying I was funny. I was like, oh, thanks. He goes, no, like, we actually get your sense of humor here in Australia, which was kind of like a backhanded compliment because he was saying the whole rest of the world didn't understand my jokes. He was like, we actually get it here. And I was like, cool.
Gonna,
like, it's all righty.
I'm not going to disagree with those analysis. I think it was a bigger compliment than you realized.
No, dude, you know how many times I've done shows, people go, I thought you were funny. Or, like, the worst is when you think.
Oh, that's the worst, where they're like, I really enjoyed it. Like, I got, it's like, shut, you're not, fuck you, man.
I was laughing, or like, this crowd sucks. Like, dude, I was there, number one. And the worst is when you think you did well, and they go, man, tough crowd. And then I got to rethink whether I have laugh ears. That's what. Eddie Giff used to call them laugh ears. Comedians think they're doing better than they are. You have laugh ears. So, by the way, Bruce Leroy, that fight, you know what? This kid, that impressed me so much. He was getting the shit beaten out of him in the first. He kept getting dropped.
Yeah, he almost got – he's lucky he survived the first.
And then he came back. I mean, came back with a rear naked – I mean – go Bruce Leroy. Holy shit. That was such, you know, that kind of fight shows me more than, you know, any one of, like Chimaev's fight, where he just goes out and steamrolls people. Like, the fact that you can come back, that's when you know a guy is a good fighter. That's when you know a guy is a good comic, a good athlete. It's like, don't, anyone can kill in a hot crowd. It's when you're bombing the first 10 minutes and you got to do, and you got to do 45. Or even the first 20 and you gotta do 45.
To me, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'm sure you never knew.
I either bomb the whole way or there's nothing.
McCorkle, did you ever come back from a fight where you lost the first?
No, I don't know how many times I ever fought in the second round. I either won in the first 90 seconds or lost in the first 2 minutes. It's kind of what you worked out for me, because I think I only went to the second round like 3 times ever.
Now, but were you one of those guys that if you could beat you in the first or even practice, guys can get in your head, or were you always game to come back?
Oh, no, I would fight to the death. I just was always real tired after the first 90 seconds. But, I would – I remember when I fought Christian Moorcraft. I remember I got my ass kicked the first round. Like, it all came down to one scramble. He tried to not put me in a knee bar, which we didn't drill, because who thinks Christian Moorcraft's going to throw a knee bar from the bottom position? Like, actually threw a knee bar, completely threw me off, got on top. It was one scramble. He beat me to it, and then he just elbowed me in the face the whole rest of the first round. And when I came back, both eyes were almost swollen shut, like I'm bleeding everywhere. And I remember my corner said, okay, we lost the first round. And I started laughing. Like I started laughing in the corner because I was thinking, like, if I wasn't sure, like, hey, how'd you think I did that first round? Yeah, he's like, okay, we lost the first round, so we got two left. I'm like, okay, well, at least the math part's over.
Can I tell you, buddy, getting elbowed in the face for the rest of the round sounds like no kind of fun.
Yeah, well, at one point, he actually just dug his elbow into my eye and started rubbing it around, like if you watch the fight online.
Oh, my God.
He actually just rubbing it in my face, like, over and over. And I remember thinking, like, that is so dirty, like, when it was going to happen. And, you know, I mean, it's legal, but it seemed kind of like a dirty move to put your elbow into my eye and rub it around.
Now, Sean, when you're getting elbow in the face, does it hurt, or is your adrenaline so high where you don't feel it to the next day?
You hear it more than you feel it, as strange as that sounds. Like, if they really hit you hard, really elbow you hard, you hear, like, the noise more so, and it'll hurt a little bit. But I would say, like, I'd say the equivalent, like, a bee sting, like, that much pain. You know, like, you feel a sting, but not much. But it's more the feeling of being like almost like a UFC video game when you get rocked, like everything kind of goes quiet. If you really, really get hit, everything kind of gets quiet a little bit, you know, and you get dizzy and you're kind of like, wait, what is going on? But yeah, it's not so much pain as it is. I remember standing up when I would get hit, I would always hear the noise more than feel the pain. Like, I'd hear like a real loud slap, you know, or something like that. But yeah, I was never real, real rocked in a fight. In practice, I was like sparring, but never in a fight.
You know, that's why, you know, it takes, I always say comedians are just wired differently, you know, the desire to actually go up and stand in front of people and make jokes and stuff. And the same is true for fighters. My eye, I think a tap. I don't even think I wait. I don't sit there and like, this is dirty. I can't wait till this round's over. I mean, I think I'm like, stop, Tab, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
I'll tell you the crazy thing is, when you first start fighting, you get mad when someone hits you real hard, but you get 5 or 6 fights in, and if they smoke you, you almost appreciate it. Like, man, that was pretty good. like, you know, I mean, or man, he really surprised me with that, you know, like, or whatever, like, you actually take a moment to appreciate their work for a second. Like, gosh, he really got me with that uppercut. Like, that's what you think during the fight. You don't get mad about it. It's weird. Like,
so oof, that is weird.
So after the Bruce Leroy fight, I go, man, that guy came back harder than Little Nas X. Right. So, and so, no, I said, he came from behind harder than Little Nas X. That's what I said, right?
That's what it was. He
came from behind. So, but I wrote a joke like years ago. I go, Martin Cannon comes from behind more than Lance Bass, right? So Joe Rogan fucking said that on a telecast. Did you ever hear that story, Greg? Greg, can you hear me? Fuck. I think the Wi-Fi.
No, I haven't heard him say it. I remember hearing him say that.
Yeah, is like the Wi-Fi off? Is the Wi-Fi bad?
No, we're fine.
You seem fine. Can you not hear me? Is my Wi-Fi bad?
I think I'm getting like a little bit of a lag. So Joe Rogan goes, like my friend Adam Hunter said, Martin Campman comes from behind more than Lance Bass, right? And all of a sudden, he got kicked off Fox Sports for that. Like, dude, the fucking internet went crazy. Like, fired Joe Rogan. Like, how dare he? And then all these trolls came out of nowhere where they were like, how these memes came back of like Lance Bass. They're like, we got your back, bro. And then someone was like, as a gay man, I am offended, not because of the joke, but because you assume that Lance Bass is a top. He's definitely a bottom. Like, and then somebody else wrote like, that's how the Holocaust started. I'm like, this is how the Holocaust started. Like jokes like fuck it. It's crazy. So, but yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. Hey, fuck. Now the Wi-Fi is terrible. Greg, can you hear him?
It's breaking up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying, Sean?
I was just saying, that's how the Holocaust started with the Lance Bass joke? That doesn't make sense.
I know. The whole thing, it's like the X-Men timeline. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah right.
Did I tell you guys about the time?
Go on.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I had another Nazi story. Go ahead.
Okay.
another Nazi story. Oh, we're good. All right. So here's the thing. So Random Marcos, by the way, this was the best Random Marcos. I think she like lost 4 out of 5. She needed a win. And damn, did she get it. She looked fucking awesome. She was doing that like Baroni, Dave Monet, like fucking just. And then at the end, then she got taken down and did that like Gary Goodrich fucking elbow while you're in like a fireman's carriage.
Crucifix.
Yeah. So I was super, super. All right. Some other things that went on. The guy that you beat, Sean.
Yeah.
Darius Pujanowski. He beat the world's strongest man, beat another guy that was, I guess, the best wrestler ever from that area. Did you see that fight, Greg?
No. I saw you posted a little something about it. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at here?
So, Sean, tell me about this fight.
I saw it. I guess that guy was some, like, I don't know, it's Congolese, Senegalese, whatever, somewhere over there in Africa, like, once some world champion wrestler. Like, I think it's that wrestling where they grab down each other's pants or something, like their underwear. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's like a real weird sumo-style mix. But, Pujowski hits hard, man. And, like, people give him a hard time or whatever because he's just a strong man or whatever. But his right hand's no joke.
Dude, that was that was crazy because that guy, they were touting that guy as like the next big thing. And who knows? He the guy still might be. But Pujanowski's, that was a good win for him. Good win for you, though, because you're 1-1 against him, Sean.
Yeah. I remember after the first fight, I declared myself the world's new strongest man, and he did not like that at all. Like, he did not think that was funny at all. That's why I just kept saying all the interviews. I wasn't really excited about the win as I was the fact that I am now the world's strongest man.
So right here. You got it. So here, right here. It was in KSW.
So which one won, the world's strongest man or the mechanic?
I just
he was a white guy. He was a guy from Poland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder, man. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if Pujanowski doesn't take steroids. Like, it crosses my mind on occasion. It almost seems suspicious.
It came out that
He's only like you know what, like 58 years old and built like the Hulk. Jeez, that really, it just, they should have just had, they should have stood across the ring from each other and tossed needles at each other. And just let the steroids win. Whoever steroids wins, wins.
They should have, like, you know how they have those contests where you got to throw the thing as close it? They should have, like, you throw the needle to the other guy's arm, and whoever gets closer.
Yeah.
And you can stick it in there.
Yeah, cornhole with steroids.
It's how many you stick in the arm. He landed 8 needles.
Let's just have a dart game.
He's got to hit this needle. He's only got 2 left, and he's down by 2. Yeah, and you're just hitting each other's arms or ass cheeks.
I think ass cheek steroids with darts is the fucking, that's the next game. That's the next big thing. So it came out that Logan Paul in February is supposedly fight Mike Tyson. It's a done deal.
I know Greg is excited.
I don't even know who wins this fight anymore. I mean, Tyson's what, 55?
I'll say at least he's a boxer. Now, he is the oldest boxer.
No, Logan. That's the one that fought Mayweather. So he's going to now have
Okay. So he fought Mayweather, and now he's going to take out Tyson. Yeah. This is his plan, is to go through all the living legends.
And Rocky Marciano in 2023, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if Mike Tyson's allowed to take steroids and TRT, whatever he threw up on Roy Jones, I don't know if he did anything, but allegedly he was on some stuff, I think he'll destroy Logan Paul. If the same guy that shows up against Roy Jones shows up. However, if Tyson's on mushrooms all day and doesn't train for this, man, would there anything sadder be watching Logan Paul knock out Mike Tyson? I mean, would that just be the saddest thing in the world?
It will be the first time I will be anti-mushrooms.
I mean, I don't even know. Like, if Logan Paul, let's say he flatlines, like he does what Vitor did to Holyfield. I mean, one thing, it was Vitor Belfort, so you're like, okay, fine. Imagine he just runs through Tyson in one round. Like, I think at that point, everyone just starts over. Like everyone, no more social media, no more computers. Like, we just, everyone, it's over. Like, we're going back to
farming. I just give up, man. I get it. It's not for them. It isn't about the sport. It ain't about anything. It's this kid manages to generate, you know, $100 million. And who doesn't want $50 million? So, it's just, I mean, I get it. But I'm like, it's the biggest insult to the sport of boxing ever.
So, what happens in this fight, Tyson versus Logan Paul?
I got to think Tyson kills him, man. Tyson looked really, really good against Roy Jones Jr. in that fight. I know he was fighting a 53-year-old Roy Jones, but, man, he looked not just on the pads. In the actual fight himself, the first 2 or 3 rounds, he looked dangerous, man, like he really did. Like, I can't imagine if he comes in shape that Paul beats him. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine Jake Paul would beat Tyron Woodley either. So, you know, like, nothing ceases to amaze me anymore, man.
Greg, what happens in this fight?
Putting every dime on Logan Paul. Here's why. These are fixed fights. He's paying these guys to take dive, to not knock him out, to make them last, to go the distance. I guarantee, and I want you to mark my words, and I want to clip this, and I want us to play it again when I'm right. There, it will go the distance. He will go the distance. There will be no knockout. Of course, there'll be no decision either. They'll just go in there. Tyson will come in fat. He's going to come in fat. He's going to come in like just – and don't be surprised if Logan Paul knocks him out, because I'm sure there's a $10 million bonus if he lets him knock him out. So please put all your money on the guy guaranteed to go the distance, Logan Paul.
Oh, God. Now, have you seen these two guys, the Island Boys? They're the have you seen these guys?
No. Is this like the Trailer Park Boys?
No. So these guys are the biggest thing in TikTok and rap. And I actually said, I first time I saw them, I go, you know, Sean O'Malley and
what's oh, yeah, name? Yeah, yeah.
I said him and Touchy Feely have their new group, right? And they're all tatted up, and they're from Florida, these kids. And both of them retweeted it and laughed about it. So, but they're the biggest things right now in the internet, And here, I'll show you the video. I want to see live reaction to the two future rap stars of America. Hold on. Here we go. And wait till you see these guys from Florida. They're only 18 years old. All right, hold on. All right, so.
I'm an island boy. I'm just trying to make it. And I'm an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like it's Wagwan. But you better really keep that gun. I'ma keep it like I'm up in the sun. I've been really at your food gazing. I'm like, boy, what you really saying? I told him I'll pull up like a super saiyan. I'm trying to be outdoor greater. Hey, look, I'm an island boy with my vest on like a Guamaman. Yeah. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like you two old guns. You can keep it like you real deal rhyme. You can be like Elmo son.
Are they being serious?
Those kids are just right. Are those the? Those are two little Jewish kids. I know those kids. That's Moesha. And that's Noah. That is those. Yeah, the Hertzfelds.
Those are the biggest. Yeah, they're being totally serious. They're blowing up on the internet.
We're the island boys. We play with toys, and we stand around. Our parents let us get tattoos, and we wear hair like a clown. Island boys.
So they're 18 years old. They've been arrested a couple times for robbery and stuff.
At Starbucks.
And now they're the biggest thing on TikTok. You can't go on TikTok. Everyone's doing parodies of them. They say they're making a lot of money off this.
what a world we live in, man. That's amazing.
First of all, who sewed all the nicks into their hairs? Did they just take a bucket of dildos and say, can you weave this into my Jufro?
They're Cuban. They were born in Miami, but they're South Florida, and their parents are Cuban.
Yeah, because there's no Jews in South Florida. That I know.
Why are we blaming the Jews for these fucking guys? Come on, we have enough problems. Now we're the island boys. Like,
they look like two Jewish kids from the suburbs to me. I mean,
the Jews have nothing to do with this one. All right.
Oh my God.
There are other things to blame the Jews for, but it's not the island.
Look. They're not Jewish boys.
Hector Lombard's from Cuba too. I'd like to hear Greg Lombard as the Island Boys. That's what I'd like to hear.
Hector Jr., what do you think of the Island Boys?
I don't know. Where are they from? What island? What island do they think they come from? They come to here now. They're the Island Boy. I'm the Island Boy. Island Boy. Island Boy. You hear me? That's how you know.
All right, Hector. We got Hector's opinion on this. I get it. Greg Fry, are you a fan of the Island Boys?
Island Boys, kind of island they from, island of the time forgot island, but hair looked like a finger in a socket. I don't trust them.
So basically, it's basically the Catch Me Outside girl, but like the male equivalent to, but it's twins, double the much. And the island, keep it like that. So I tagged O'Malley and Touchy Feely. I said, congrats on your new song. And both of them, it just got, yeah. I love it when fighters are good sports. Like it was Kelvin Gastelum's birthday. So I go, happy birthday, Kelvin. And I put out Gabriel Iglesias, the picture of him. Now, Sean, are you banned from Facebook now?
Yeah, I'm blocked again for that joke I sent you guys about hindsight being for homosexuals. I think that's the right term. But, yeah, because I made a joke about trying to be canceled. I can't get it.
The right term. But, what were your alternate choices?
I said that I said on Facebook that I've been trying to get canceled for years. I said, I guess I should have got famous first, but hindsight is for the F word, the less offensive F word, I think.
Hindsight for homosexuals is actually a really funny joke. I think if you just would have said homosexuals, that would have been fine.
Probably, yeah, I've been politically correct, but it's like when Norm MacDonald, instead of saying retarded, was saying Down syndrome. Like, he was like, I think you'd have to.
I should have said Down syndrome. It's like, oh, God.
Made it even worse. But, I'm off Facebook now. I'm off Twitter, and I stopped using Instagram by choice. So I'm pretty much don't exist on social media right now. Although I need to get on TikTok, apparently, if the Island Boys are on there. And I didn't know I was out of stuff like that.
Would you mind playing it just one more time? It's really addictive.
Really?
I can't get enough. It's just, you know, because they say there are no artists left in America. And yet TikTok proves them right every day.
You really want to hear it again?
Yeah, play it one more time, please. Okay. I think our listeners deserve it. I think we deserve it. I think this is what America is. This is great.
I'm an island boy. I'm just trying to make it. And I'm an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like it's Wagwan. But you better really keep that gun. I'ma keep it like I'm up in the sun. I've been really at your food.
I'm glad he pointed at the sun and they looked around. That was
at night.
I'm pull up like a super saiyan. I'm trying to be out the greater. Hey, look, I'm an island boy with my vest on like a Guamaman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to
keep it like an island boy. I'm going to keep it like you took your buns.
They didn't really write a lot of lyrics. Those kids are Jewish.
Okay? They're not Jewish. We're not claiming them. Okay?
That's a sketch on SNL. I wonder if SNL's gotten to it yet. Because please bring back Adam Sandberg for this one. Andy Sandberg for this one.
Oh my! That I believe it. Like it's kind of catchy though.
Dude, come on! You know what? I think you and I need to do. We need to do our own. I think we do. I think we got to take our shirts off and paint on some, and just.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Because we're island boys. Look, there's the sun. And I'm wearing shoes. And that's a tree. Island boy.
So on TikTok, one of their old teachers was on and talked about them. Not anyone who knows them is not making videos, and then they react to it. So I guess he's like, yeah, I used to be a teacher when they went to school. And he's like, the names are like, you know, Matt and Chris, whatever. He's like, and I remember I was a substitute teacher. And I go, where do you want to live when you grow up? And the guy goes, the kid says, a star. And he goes, you can't live. The other guy goes, you can't live on a star because it's full of gas, a little flow, blah, blah. He goes, yeah, whatever. And they started beating each other up in class.
Now that sounds like twins. Somewhere there's a teacher of the Diaz brothers with similar stories.
All right, this week, PFL is back. I love the PFL because, you know, when you want to
have... The Diaz brothers should do... Wait a minute. The Diaz brothers should do it with a Stockton bun.
I was thinking about pitching that for the... on my text, I'm like, for the awards this year, we got to do one of these, you know?
It would be pretty fucking hilarious. If they would do it, it would be epic.
They would never do it. I mean...
I could see that being the case.
I feel like they would fight me for suggesting it. Hey, Nate, you know those island books? Click, hello?
at least they've got the body type down.
Oh, Nate Diaz and them? Oh, yeah, they're right. So, PFL, Kayla Harrison.
I'm the buffet boy. That's what we'll do. We'll do buffet boys.
Is fighting for $1 million against Taylor Guardado. She's a minus 5,000 favorite.
Oh my!
Sounds like I'll bet on that and lose.
Because you don't even look at the fighters. You look at all you see are the numbers, and you're like, oh my God,
$100 to give me $50,000. Hey, no, take all my money.
No, but he's going to bet on Kayla to win and lose. No,
yeah, it all depends on what Greg says.
He's going to bet on Kayla to win and lose.
Yeah, I'll still, yeah, 500 to 1, I'll start, 550 to 1, I'll still lose every time.
So she got into it with Dana White a little bit. Not into it, but Dana White says, hey, are you ever, they asked him about Kayla Harrison because, you know, she's a two-time gold medalist in judo, only person, American to do that ever. She's never lost a round. She's a monster. She's kicking everyone's ass, trains with Nunez. And Dana said, look, you know, she should still stay in the PFL and keep those $1 million. You know, she's not ready to come here yet. Which, of course, you know, Kayla was like, responded very, you know, professional and stuff. But he's like, well, he's held his opinion, blah, blah. So, I mean, Kayla just looks unbeatable right now. There's nothing you can say. Look, no one's unbeatable. But it's like Kayla looks like Ronda Rousey looked without the distractions. And actually a lot better than Ronda. A lot better than Ronda because Ronda, you know, arguably lost some rounds to Misha or around, like it was competitive. Her fights aren't even competitive, Kayla. But she's also not fighting the same caliber of people that fighting. So,
well, I mean, look, so they don't think this girl has a chance?
I think Dana might just be saying that to, like, you know, he might just be saying that because he actually wants to sign her and he's trying to build hype around her. And maybe he knows that, like, it's going to get, saying that will get some hype, and, you know, who knows? But he's,
I mean, the odds maker's the one making the odds. So, I mean,
no,
that's ridiculous.
But no, it's not a chance in the UFC. I mean, he says he has a chance, but he's just staying in the UFC right now. But he's kind of right.
No. What I was saying, no one's giving this Taylor Guardado girl a chance. Guardado. No one's giving her a chance, man. Like, is she that bad or is Kayla that good?
It seems like Kayla just has, like, she's just, her striking isn't, like, obviously world class yet, but her judo is so good and she's so big and strong that she's just the girls aren't having been able to figure her out. Somebody will figure her out. Maybe they won't. I don't know. I mean, like her versus Cyborg would be a great fight at 145.
That would be the first person to ever figure a woman out in history.
Dude,
nice. You know, I was thinking if Dana wants to bring her to the UFC, really all he has to do is invite her to fight in Abu Dhabi and be like, come on over for an island fight.
it's creeping into everything.
Dude, it's funny, though, because
nobody watches the PFL. I'm kidding. I've actually enjoyed quite a number of the fights.
No, but you're right, though. It's funny, though, about Sean, about your comment about women. Because there are times I'll be fighting with my wife, and I'll be like, listen, here's why I'm right. This is what happened. And she'll look at me. She goes, what do you want? I'm a woman. And then she wins the argument. Like that. How could that be the argument? It's like I have to just
say, okay.
Crazy. What? Go on.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the heavyweight championship. And I don't know how to say this. Daliha?
Yeah.
Dalija. This guy's got a third nipple. They didn't even Photoshop it or nothing.
You got a third nipple, really?
Look at it, man. Look, go to the professional fighter league site right now. Share the picture. He's got a third nipple, man.
The PFL
site? The heavyweight dude, which I can see why no one ever mentions it to him. No one's going to be like, hey, you giant fighter guy, you got a third nipple.
All right, come on, let me see. All right, so we got – it's on like the main page?
On the main page for the fight, for the championship fights. If you go to the championship fight, the October 27th. And you scroll down to so
Wiz Khalifa is performing live there. What?
Is he?
Yeah, it says on the site. It says performing live Wiz Khalifa during the like, dude.
Listen, these guys know how to draw some eyeballs. I love it.
Look at
the heavyweight championship.
No one even knows that. I just went on the site and saw that. I mean, shouldn't we know this? It feels like they're just giving out. Dude, this.
What is this? It's Bellator?
This and bare knuckle. Like
Bellator!
Dude, this and bare knuckle boxing is like, I don't know where they get these their money from. They just, all right, so I'm on the site. Now, where am I supposed to go?
Okay, so you go to the championship, October 27th championship for the full, and look at the full card.
Yeah, full card. Hold on.
Then scroll down to the heavyweight championship. And the guy on the right, look at him.
All right, well, Ray Cooper, who's fucking awesome, can't wait for him. Clarissa Shields.
Don't get caught up in the fights before it just yet. Go down. Look at this guy's. I swear, the third nipple.
Shit, you're right. He does have a third nipple.
He's got a third fucking nipple.
All right, hold on, McCorkle. You're an expert on
third nipples.
Well, this is either like a bump or this is like the worst case of. Okay, let me see. What we got.
Wait, what's his name?
The guy's name.
Deliha? Delija?
Can you see it? Right here.
Oh yeah.
And that might be a zit, or like
no, that is a third nipple, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's not from steroids.
I don't
know what that is.
I think the dude's just made. Now we know why he's a big time fighter because he kept getting made fun of for having a third nipple.
Yeah, and he
started
getting
killing titty, motherfuckers.
He kept getting titty twisted his whole life. I mean. So, all right, so we got...
third nipple!
I guess the third nipple. So, Clarissa Shields is arguably, they call her the female GOAT. She's a two-time gold medalist in boxing, undefeated. Her first fight was a disaster. I don't care. I mean, she won it, but she was getting beat the first two rounds and then came back and won. So, I guess it wasn't a disaster, but it was very scary on her part. So, she's fighting this girl, Montez. I don't know anything about her. Now, she recently said, Shields, that she would fuck up Jake Shields in a boxing match. I mean, Jake Paul in a boxing match. She would destroy Jake Paul in a boxing match. McCorkle, do you agree with this?
I agree that she would probably beat Jake Shields in a boxing match. I don't know about Jake Paul.
So, you think she would beat Jake Paul in boxing or no?
Probably not, no. She's
the best in the world, and this guy's not top 100.
Well, she's the best female in the world. That makes a big difference. It's like I could play in the WNBA right now and dominate. Like, and I played
that is not true. That is unequivocally not true.
I had the opportunity to play with a national level, like top women's NCAA player one time when I wasn't even very good in high school. And I,
yeah, but you now
probably had 40 on. Like, it wasn't close. I could dominate. I don't know if I can
run. Exactly. There's a lot of running involved in even in WNBA.
I think he could probably win in horse, maybe.
Yeah, like, if it's all dunks and there's like a small trampoline.
Instagram. All right. So Chris Wade is fighting Kabulayev, who's 18-0. I hope Chris Wade wins. I fucking like Chris Wade a lot. He's from Long Island. He was a state champ wrestler. Had some
another island boy.
All right, so this Saturday
he looks a little different. He's definitely from a different island.
This Saturday we got Jan Blachowicz taking on Glover Teixeira for the light heavyweight title this Saturday day from Abu Dhabi. When's the question is, what is age to catch up to Glover, right? I mean, this dude, it just keeps getting better with age. He's like defying everything. He's 41 years old. Not that old, but still in MMA, that's actually pretty old. And he's had, you know, hundreds of fights. The other guy, Jan, is 38. So he's not really that much younger. I don't know who wins this fight. I don't know who wins. Sean, who wins this fight?
I don't know, man. I guarantee you, like, in this fight, somebody's going to sleep either way. And it's probably the audience, because I couldn't give a shit less about that fight. Like, I haven't enjoyed a Glover Teixeira fight in like 10 years. Like, I don't know. Like,
he's great. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Glover versus Anthony.
It'll be very awkward. Yeah. Whoever wins, they'll do it in an awkward manner, I'm guessing.
Yes. I'm picking Glover. I don't know why. Greg, who are you picking?
I'm going beyond. I mean, there's no reason to lose this fight.
Going to be a good one. Corey Sandhagen versus Peter Yan. This is going to be a good fight.
Another very good fight right here, boy. This is a great end. What's weird is, isn't the New York card the next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it weird to have two UFCs, like actual UFC events, back-to-back like that?
Well, this one's free.
I know, and it's in – but, I mean, it's a UFC 267. I mean, it's not a fight night. It's very strange to me.
They could have spread some of these out over the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, because this has got some great fights on it.
So I think Sanhagen's, I don't know, Peter Yan looked so good against Aljamain. Sanhagen's been winning. Sanhagen's coming off a loss. Sanhagen, if he wins, like, he wins big. He lost TJ Dillashaw, which I thought he actually won that fight, if I got to be totally honest. But he knocked out Frankie Edgar, knocked out Marlon Moraes. He lost to Aljamain. He beat Asensio before that. Peter Yan, though, his fights are pretty close too, though. I mean, so the Aljamain, he was winning, but the Aldo fight, he knocked him out. Faber, he knocked him out. Rivera, that was the one that was closer than it should have been. Very close. He beat John Dodson, who lost again this week, by the way, which pissed me off. John lost to Cody Gibson in XMMA. Cody's the guy that came on that had the debate against Hector Lombard over Trump. I don't know if you watched that one. Who do you think wins this one? I'm going with Peter Yan. You?
Yeah, I say Yan, man. I think he's by far the best in that weight. Not by far, but he's best in the weight class right now. Like, he looks his boxing's really, really good, man. Like, really good. His knees to the head on the ground are amazing, too. It's just illegal, unfortunately. Right. He's got good knees, too.
I think if it's a knockout or a decision, it's Yan. But I think Sandhagen could catch him. I think he could catch him in a submission.
I hate those predictions. Those are the worst. Well, if it goes to the distance, he wins. If not, the other guy. We got to just pick one guy.
Honestly, I think it's going to be Sandhagen. I think Sandhagen is going to catch him in a submission and force him to tap. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
Greg's just trying to hex my bet because I'm putting money on Yan. So now, guaranteed, I'm going to lose. Actually, it was guaranteed I was going to lose before I bet, so it didn't matter.
Then we got Dan Hooker versus Islam Makhachev. That should be a good fight. Hooker is coming off a huge win. He won like a couple weeks ago. It's a quick turnaround, but I don't think he's allowed back in New Zealand. He beat Nazareth. He lost to Chandler. He got killed by Chandler. He lost to Poirier. He beat Paul Felder, beat Ali Aquinta, beat James Vick, lost to Barboza.
Good fight.
And then Islam has just looked unbeatable. This guy, I mean, he beat Thiago Moses. Yeah. He killed Drew Dober, beat Davi Ramos. His last loss was to Adriano Martins in 2015. So he hasn't lost in 6 years. And then he just got caught in that one. So, unfortunately, I want Hooker to win. But if I got to be totally honest, I think that Islam's going to win. Greg?
I think so. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. But I think Islam's probably going to do a lot of domination on the ground. I think it's Islam. I think he's going to beat him up pretty good.
Sean?
I think, I have like a rule of thumb. If someone sounds like they could be from Dagestan or looks like they could be from that area, I always go with them because I don't know what they're doing over there, man, but it seems to work. So.
Well, because they don't go to school. Like, if you're good at wrestling at three, they pull you out of school and you wrestle 9 semesters a day.
If only they could get them hooked on heroin at some point during their childhood, they would be champions for sure. But, yeah, if you grow up doing that, that's what Khabib always said about, like, fighting Conor in the street. He was like, do you think this would be my first street fight? You know, like, you've been doing that since you were a kid and fighting bears and whatever else, you know, like it.
If you're decent at school, they pull you out of school and send you to, like, a wrestling school. We know how to wrestle every semester.
If you're a woman and you're decent at school, you never get to find out because you're not allowed to go. But. I don't know.
I believe that's true.
Let's see. Also, that's not as misogynistic as it sounds. actually be kind of factual, sadly.
Also, Marcin Tybura taking on Volkov. That should be a fucking great
fight. That should be a banger right there. I like Tybura.
And then Chimaev is back. Chimaev, who like basically quit. Remember, he quit fighting because he got COVID and something happened. And all of a sudden, like the prime minister of his country was like, no, you're not quitting anymore. Then he's like
– we didn't pull you out of school at three for you to quit now.
And then he's like, all right, I'm no longer quitting. We're like, what the fuck? That was strange. But, you know, this guy is 9-0. I think he was on the Swedish national team. He's a monster. And I guess last week he got into a fight with Kevin Holland. You hear what happened? So Kevin Holland made fun of him.
No, but I bet Kevin Holland was talking the whole time.
So Kevin Holland made fun of him on Instagram. said something on Instagram that was like a wise-ass remark, but nothing crazy. So when he saw Kevin Holland, he goes, hey, what was that joke you made about on Instagram? And Kevin Holland's like, I didn't make a joke. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. And then he just started choking. Kevin Holland, like he ran after her, and he got pulled off of him. So.
That sounds right.
Yeah. No way that guy's going to jail in the future. No chance.
Well, he's not going to go to jail over there. You know, maybe he'll go to jail in America, but, you know, I don't think.
I like his nickname. His nickname is just Boars. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I feel like to them that means something. It's a nickname for something. It has meaning. I would love to know. B-O-R-Z. But over here, it's the Boars.
That's also Brendan Schaub's nickname.
But for one, bing, Brendan Schaub.
Crowd's asleep. All right, so he's fighting Li Jingliang, who's coming off a huge knockout over Ponzinibbio. I didn't see that fight happen at all. I mean, I was like, there's no way. He lost to Neil Magny before that. He beat Elias Zaleski Dos Santos. He beat David Suada. So he lost to Jake Matthews in 2018. And that's a little bit telling right there because, this guy, Chimaev, is a lot better wrestler than Jake Matthews. But that was still 3 years ago. I don't know. I mean, I think Chimaev wins this fight unless he gets caught. But I don't think it's going to happen. Chimaev all day. You, Greg?
Yeah, not even close. I mean, there's a reason he's minus 590.
Yeah.
590. So I'm sure you can count on a heavy bet from McCorkle on Li Jingliang. Plus,
I might bet on both of them just so we can get a draw. Because I won't win. If I bet both guys, I'll still find a way to lose. Like, legit. So. Actually, I'm ashamed to admit I did do that before. I was on such a losing streak. Swear to God, I was on such a losing streak. I bet on both guys because I was going to lose either way. And it was a draw. Like, it was a boxing match who's that? But I was so such a streak. I was like, I'm betting both win. That way, at least I'm right. And then they had a draw.
Their first fight was a draw, and that's when I was like, I'm done with boxing. You guys, this fucking fake-ass bullshit. Yeah, I was like, wow. You're like, no, draw. We have to do this three times, guys. We got to make all this money, so nobody wins. I was like, and this is why everyone hates boxing. This is why Jake Paul might as well, because at least you know the fix is in with that.
Wait, which fight was that? It was raw?
Triple G versus Canelo. In the first fight, I think they fought three times ultimately.
Yeah, Triple G dominated. Absolutely dominated.
Yeah, absolutely.
They gave a draw, man.
Also on this card, Makwan Amirkani, who we know because he got a blowjob on the podcast. He came on our show. And there was a girl that was sucking his cock during the interview. Anyway, so what do you got coming up, Greg?
I don't know. Oh, this Friday, 8 o'clock, doing the Friday 8 o'clock show at the Yaya here in town. My in-laws are coming for a visit, so that'll be we'll see what there's to say next week on the podcast.
Anyway, you guys are awesome. Yes. Thank you guys, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you guys.
Right, see you, buddy.
Take care.